What is going on, everyone? It's Rob and Johnny. Welcome to episode 42 of the MMRcade podcast. We almost forgot what episode number it was. It's getting harder and harder to remember them.
The more numbers we get, sorry in advance. Sorry for last week. Yeah. I understand we missed an episode. I just couldn't swing it. The camp has been hard and... Yeah, some days are better than others.
to be fair, that day was genuinely Mother's Day, and both you and I were spending time with the family. So we just decided to, both of us decided to call it. But we're here, right? Even though you're still training, we're here. You're flying very soon, brother. You're getting there.
Yeah, I know. I think it's, 5 weeks out now? So I leave in about three. It's around the corner. You know, I got another 3 weeks of just hard. Yeah, just hard work, you know, really just striving for greatness. And then,
fly
over. too much. My back is so sore. I understand why a lot of those guys later in the career, they slowly start to wean out wrestling. Like you see your Romeros, your Cormiers, they start to get to an age where it's like it just hurts too much. And then they do other things. But
anyway,
I'm still there. My back can still handle it, you know.
Dude, we're looking forward to it. But for today's episode, we're just going to be talking about a bunch of different news pieces going on in the UFC. If you are new, please do like the video, subscribe. But let's first talk about the fight announcements for UFC 304. On Instagram, as usually does, Dana White announced a bunch of fights for UFC 304. This is the one in Manchester happening at a ridiculous time, local hours. I think they're watching the main event or the main fight at like 5 in the morning. UK time. Ridiculous. But anyways, UFC 304, we've got for the main event, we've got Leon Edwards against Bilal Muhammad. Finally, Bilal Muhammad is getting his shot, and I guess his rematch against Leon Edwards for the UFC Welterweight Championship. We've got Aspinall against Curtis Blaydes for the interim heavyweight title. Also, Bobby Green against Paddy Pimblett, Muhammad Mukhaev against Manel Kapp, and Arnold Allen against Giga. So we've got a bunch of good fights for UFC 304, Rob. What do you think of that card?
Mate, it looks like it's coming together pretty well. Like obviously the Aspinall Blaydes interim title shot is funny, but I don't think anyone really loses out in that. It's very hard to take the belt away off Jones, just with his tenure, the things that he's done in the sport and just, you know, the prestige behind him as a person, you know, as an athlete. But Aspinall still gets his title fight. He gets pay-per-view money. He gets championship, pay-per-view points, I'm assuming. You know, he's going to be making money. And it is a heavyweight title, you know, and people will look at it like a defense. And I'm glad to see Blaydes being the one to fight him for it because, mate, I feel like Blaydes has been such a rugged – What is it? He's just been slaving away in the division. He's been fighting his way around the division. And, you know, he's won some, then he was unlucky some, and then he had great wins. And I don't know. I think he deserves it. I think he's done the time. I think he's earned the stripes, and I think he deserves to get that, you know, that gold shot.
Yeah, I completely agree. I just appreciate what he did to Jailton Almeida because he was, and I know I've been very critical of him and he's got his own style, but to me, very, very boring fighter. Didn't do much on the ground. And Curtis Blaydes, bro, I remember that knockout. It was the weirdest thing. I didn't know what was going on and then just kept hammer fisting him. After that alone, I wanted him to get some sort of title opportunity. And remember that his previous loss before that was against Pavlovich, and that's understandable. You know what I mean?
You hate Almeida so much, dude.
So much, bro. Like, so much.
Every chance you get, you start hammering him.
To be fair, I think everybody feels the same. I like good wrestling. I am not one of those casuals that's like, oh, I don't like wrestling. I don't like jiu-jitsu or whatever. But do something with it on the ground. Don't just smother them for three rounds and not let them get any offense or whatever. But Blaydes just snuff that completely. And some people say fraud check Jailton. I won't go that far, but I just don't like his fighting style, man. It's just too boring.
That's fair. You're 100% right. He doesn't utilize his positions that he gets with his wrestling a lot of the time.
Yeah.
Whereas Blaydes does. Like he's a very good MMA wrestler, I think.
100%.
You know, much to back up what you're talking about. It's also good to see Bilal getting that shot. And I'm curious to see how that fight goes.
I recently rewatched their kind of, I don't know what you would call it, their first fight, because it ended pretty soon after the eye poke. But obviously in that fight, Leon Edwards was getting the better of Bilal Muhammad. However, I think it was in an interview, Bilal said, "Hey, do you remember your first shot against Usman where you got the title off of him? You won that in the last round. You won that by knockout. Anything could have happened in the second, third, fourth, or fifth." So I know it's early days, but how do you think Bilal might go against Leon in that fight?
I do think, you know, and that's a very good point he made for himself. But I think that he's gotten a lot better since their first encounter, especially his striking. I believe his striking game has gotten better defensively as well. Like, I feel like he's gotten a better grip of the spacing. And I feel like I saw that against Gilbert Burns, was that his spacing was really, really good.
Yeah.
And the way he was able to control that, which in end let him control the striking pacing of the fight. Yes, Gilbert had had an injury during that fight, but still, I think I saw enough that of Gilbert to honestly, I think this fight is a 50. I think every fight's 50-50, but I think this fight's much closer in the second time around than it was the first.
Yeah, I saw people, because we know that Bilal isn't liked across the board. Like, a lot of people don't like him. I personally do. I don't mind him as a personality or a fighter, but he's beyond deserved this. Like, we can't play double standards here and say with some fighters they've deserved it because they've won three or four in a row, whatever it might be. Bilal has gone through everybody. You might not like how he fights, but he's absolutely, you know, put his stake in the ground and proven himself, and he deserves it. He should be in there over anybody else, and I don't think anyone can really argue it unless they're just a little bit biased against Bilal. You know what I mean?
Yeah, which a lot of people are.
Yeah.
But no, definitely, he's earned his stripes. He deserves his shot. And, you know, much like Blaze, I'm happy to see him in there. I'm happy to see him getting that chance, that shot of glory. Honestly, the fight I'm most excited about of all those we announced is the Allen versus, Chickadees, I'm going
to
say.
Really? That's the one you're looking forward to the most?
I think it's going to be a very exciting fight. I think it's going to be super explosive. I think we're going to see two guys that are going to, I don't know, I think they're going to bring it. I'm just excited to see how Allen puts it on Giga, you know?
I'm really hopeful that Allen can bounce back, you know what I mean? Like, he's had two losses, but he didn't look bad in those losses, in my opinion, by any means. And the last one was against Movsar. And I just want to see him bounce back, because I think he can get back into that title contention, at least getting closer to the discussion with a win here. I really like Allen as a fighter, you know what I mean? So I wouldn't say it's my favorite, though, out of this card.
Yeah, you know what? I thought about it, and I was like, oh, man, that Blaze Aspinall fight.
Yeah, it's got to be that, right?
It's not, it's not the one I'm most excited for, but I'm pumped for it regardless, right?
What about Green and Paddy Pimblett? That's pretty sick. Bobby Green keeps fighting. Well, he has no time offs, man.
He does. But the Pimblett we saw last fight, I think, handles Green pretty decisively. I think that Pimblett we saw last fight looked good, really good.
He did.
And especially if I put that style that I saw against in that last fight against what we saw of Green's last fight. Green in that first round was very hittable. Then, you know, what's his opponent's name? I forget.
Green.
Who Green fought last. Warhorse. What's his name? It's killing me. Jim Miller. Jim Miller slowed down. He had some really good moments the first, started to slow down, and then Bobby just took advantage of him. Pimblett in that first round against Green, higher out, like, I don't know. I think Pimblett's going to look really good.
Yeah. I think the only thing against that is, don't get me wrong, I thought Pimblett looked really good against Tony Ferguson, but it was also against Tony Ferguson after, what was his loss streak at that stage? Six? 5 or 6. And I think Paddy's was his 7th or something like that.
It wasn't the same Ferguson that, you know, you grew up watching.
No, of course not. And that's not to, like, I don't want to say that to discredit Paddy, but, you know, Bobby Green looked really good against Jim Miller. Yes, it was Jim Miller, but also you and I both were talking up Jim Miller and thought he could actually get the dub. And then Bobby Green completely pieced him up, especially in the second and third. So I'm really torn on that one. I think if Paddy can get through Bobby Green, like, he's kind of reassured any of the doubts that I've had about him. Yes, he had a really good fight against Tony, but I wasn't so convinced before that. And I don't think you were either, Rob. Like, you were talking about how the shine went off a little bit, if my memory.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And like, until I saw that last Paddy, it looked like that.
Yeah.
I think I mentioned it before. Like, the rise and fall of Paddy, I think, developed a better version of himself, you know, a better version to take. I don't know. I think it took away some of the glamour, took away some of the lights, some of the distractions, which, you know, led to him kind of going into that Ferguson fight as focused as he was.
That's fair. So what about Muhammad Makhachev against Manel Kapp though as well? I mean, that could be a decent fight and possibly, I don't think they've said it's a title contention fight, but it possibly could be, right?
It's, oh, mate. Another curious fight. It's give me a second.
I just noticed what you were referring to. That's all right. Her face is not in the screen, so we're gonna be all good. But I'm pulling up the rankings for flyweight now.
Sorry.
That's all right. That's all right, dude. I was just pulling up the rankings for flyweight, and I was having a look at them. I mean, I think this could be a good argument for title contention. Although I don't know what Amir Abazi is doing recently. Is he injured? I think he's injured.
That division is in constant state of motion. It is.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, there's like a new contender every week, it feels like.
It's crazy.
I'm happy to see that fight because I like the movement in the division. I think it's super healthy for the division.
Yeah.
And yeah, I don't know. I'm looking forward to it. I think the card's shaping up, 3 or 4 shaping up to look like to be really exciting.
So apparently it is at UFC 302. I don't know if it's been confirmed yet, but it's possibly Amir Abazi against Kai Kara France. And that could be another title contention fight too. I don't know what the hell's happening in this division, bro. I want to be real with you. Because like, that's Amir and Kai is 3rd versus 4, and Makhachev against Manel Kapp is 6 versus 7.
Yeah, and then Steve just had a title fight against Pantoja. You know what I mean? Like, and I love it though for the division. There's so much movement, and for a division that, you know, wasn't looked at in the highest regards historically in the UFC, I think it's super good for the UFC.
Yeah, 100%. But I need to ask you,
can
Rob,
have that buddy.
Before we move on from the discussions around 304, what is your thought about Aspinall and Blaydes fighting for an interim title? A lot of the times when I hear people talking about it, the example brought up is your example when you got the title after the thing that happened with GSP and whatever. Are you feeling similarities as to what happened with you, or is this a little bit different?
Well, you know, it's a similarity up until what like actually happened. So it's a similarity up until like I didn't actually have to defend the interim title. And you know, like I said, it's a very tricky position, not only for the UFC but for Aspinall, for Jones. It's very hard. I mentioned it before. Like it's hard to take away anything from Jones.
Yeah.
You know, just because of what he's done and what he's accomplished. But like I said, nobody's taking anything away from Aspinall, I guess. It is a funny situation. Like I think this is the first time. Is it the first time that an interim belt's been defended? But it's not.
I think it's so one other time. Yeah.
Technically, it's not even a defense. They're fighting for the interim title. you know, which if you look at it like that, it makes sense, I guess.
It's weird because whenever you listen to Aspinall talk about this, like that dude just wants to fight, like genuinely, and I'm sure he doesn't mind this. He's fighting, you know, in his country. He is, from what I heard, he's getting pay-per-view points, and because of the timing of the card, you know, beneficial towards the US, he's probably going to get a lot of money from that as well. So I'm sure he doesn't mind whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And he and Curtis Blaydes get to run it back. He has unfinished business with Blaydes after the injury that he copped in their fight. Yep. So on a personal level, I'm sure he really doesn't mind. But whoever does win has a legitimate claim to being like, you know what, I'm the legitimate champion, because John Jones might retire after this fight with Stipe. We all assume he's going to win, but if he loses, he might actually retire. But even if he wins, he might genuinely just walk off into the sunset, and one of them will just be called the champion anyway. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I don't like this amount of time off for Stipe.
Oh, it's going to be bad.
I'm worried about the version of Stipe we're going to see step in there against Jones. Stipe is in his 40s now, isn't he?
Yeah, he's definitely. Like, is he 41?
Yeah, and like I saw him on a podcast the other day, and like
he's 41.
I don't know. I don't like the time off. I don't like it, and I like Stipe a lot. So I,
we'll
have to wait and see.
Look, he could. Anything could happen in this sport, right? As you know, he could pull it off. It's like a 5% chance, maybe less than that. But could you imagine the reaction around the world? He knocks out John Jones, takes the title and retires. It'd be the funniest thing in the world.
It is. I can't even think about it because like he kind of had his loss to Ngannou really set him back, I guess.
It did.
You know, and then he's had all this time off. He hasn't been in conversation for a long time. It's hard to say how long he's had off there.
I think it's a good 3 years,
years even. Wow.
Fight against Ngannou was March 2021, 3 years, over 3 years.
Yeah, over 3 years ago. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy. And I don't know. I'm going to tune in for that fight, though.
No, absolutely.
Going in ring rust against Jones at 41, maybe 42 by the time they fight. Who knows?
It's going to be very, very interesting. But also for that card, I'm very excited to see Bilal get his final shot against Edwards. I assume Edwards is going to win, but we, of course, are going to be doing our predictions. Hopefully, I don't know what the timing of that is, you know, compared to your fight and when you're overseas. We need to do the math on that. But that is UFC. We'll have to work
it out because there will be a little break when the cast's going to have to be solo Johnny for a bit.
Well, out of curiosity, I keep forgetting these freaking dates, man, because in June, there are so many good cards, man, right? So we've got your fight night. Oh my God, there's a lot of good fights. Yours is the 23rd of June, I think Australian time.
The week before
time.
That is, who's the guy I just fought? What's his name? Costa and Strickland. I think this is like the beginning of June. I think Poirier and Makhachev is the end of June. And then there's my fight on the 22nd. It's a good month. It's a good month.
It's a very, very good month. I think the card that we're going to miss doing predictions for, and in all, like, it's actually not that bad of a thing, but I think it is UFC 303 because you're fighting on a Sunday, and unless you can do a midweek podcast when you get back to talk about it, that UFC 303 taking place on the 30th of June, we might miss out on doing predictions for that. But that card, especially after this next bit of news, is looking very, very lackluster. So moving on to that, unfortunately, Khalil Rountree is no longer fighting Jamal Hill against at UFC 303 due to a doping violation. So he went on Instagram to announce this. It wasn't leaked by any other sources. He came out in front of it. And he said, quote, "I'm gutted to deliver this news to all of you. but I will not be fighting at UFC 303 due to consuming a banned substance. I did not do this intentionally, and I'm doing everything I can to get the situation taken care of. I was using a personalized, tailored supplement service from a company that I trusted who understood my limitations in what I can and cannot take. They accidentally sent a blended supplement to me that contained a banned substance, called DHEA, which is prohibited at all times under the UFC anti-doping policy. Only after I consumed it, was its ingredients brought to my attention. Bro, crazy, crazy scenario here. What do you think about this?
Well, let me ask you, mate, what's crazy about it?
Well, here's the thing. I can't gauge whether it actually popped on a test or whether he actually legitimately, unintentionally took this substance. They told him, and then he's like to the UFC, hey, guys, even though I haven't done a test yet, I'm probably going to pop for something like this because they told me after the fact. You see what I mean? Does that take the like the fault off of him because he was proactive in that regard? Because I don't know if there was actually a test that took place.
You know, and I think this is just the nature of the beast is that he's not the only one that can't take banned supplements.
Yeah.
You know, regardless of what your workaround is, or what happened, it's you can't take it. Every one of us, every single one of us on the roster understands that. We understand that it's sketchy taking supplements and that you cannot take certain things. And then you get these guys that pop hot because they went to a tailored supplement place. You know what I mean? It's like just get your Musashi off the shelf like everyone else. You know, dude, like, I don't know. And I feel for the guy because honestly, and I'm not going to hammer him for it.
Yeah.
But I feel for him because if he's honestly in the clear and with all good intentions and he was misinformed and it was like through some third party that did him over, then I feel for him because they've just taken a huge chunk out of his career, the huge chunk of his reputation, and then there's obviously lawsuits and everything else that can follow that. Because they've really tarnished his career now.
Yeah.
But once you pop hot, for better or worse, that's it, dude. Like we're all in the same boat.
This is the thing. If there was a test, right? If he was caught. And then he came out and said, oh, it was because of a tainted supplement. I didn't know, da-da-da-da. That, to me, would seem a little bit more sketchy. But because – and someone correct me in the comments, because I haven't seen the fact that there was actually a test. He came out in front of it and said, hey, I took this thing in. I can't fight because of it. I tend to believe him because who would take a supplement knowing that it contains something bad – because you're going to have to come out and admit to it anyways. And you know you're going to get tested anyways. Because he did do that, I think I'm tending to believe him. You know what I mean? Like, who would do that if they hadn't been tested yet?
Yeah, but like, I don't think they can – I don't think the testing agency is allowed to release results.
Like, but how do they get out then?
Something.
They get out all the time.
Well, not until they go through your – A sample, B sample, or something like that, I don't think. So, like, if they rocked up at his house and he knew he was on stuff, then he could have come up with this whole thing. Because they've got to go back, they've got to test the A sample,
right.
Then it goes hot, and then they've got to test the B sample. And that takes a month or so, you know.
So, obviously, you're not saying this, but there is, like, a chance or, like, there is a scenario where in that window of the test still being done, someone could come out and say, hey, I've accidentally done this and da-da-da-da before the test gets released.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course. And, okay. And you know what? There's a chance there wasn't any tailored supplements to begin with.
Yeah.
You know, it's like I'm not going to go to his house and find out. So like, but again, there's also a chance he's completely innocent and everything he's saying is legit. You just don't know. All I'm going to say is we're all under the same thing. I know personally, if I took a supplement that had a banned thing on it, that had some sort of banned violation in it that wasn't on the label, I'm suing for all my worth.
Right.
Like, big time. I won't need a fight in the UFC anymore because I'm going to take that whole company. You know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%. Because, like, let's say if it does get shown that he has the substance and the test goes positive and whatever, how long is he out for? How much money does he lose in spite
of that? Exactly. Well, it's not even money. It's reputation.
Yeah.
It's reputation. Once you pop hot, like, your reputation is down the drain and you can't get that back.
It's such a shame as well because Khalil was on such a good streak and I really thought he could do it against Jamal.
I was so ready to see that fight.
I genuinely thought, bro, I was getting ready to come onto this podcast and say he's going to send Jamal into the shadow realm. He was honestly, he was looking so bloody good. I'm actually more upset more than anything. And I hope for his sake that it wasn't intentional. You know, the company itself that gave him the supplement apologizes. He gets a big payout. I hope to God that that happens for him because if it doesn't, what are we going to see him again in the UFC? How old is Khalil?
I think he's like 37 now.
Far out.
You know, and it's like, I think it's a 3-year ban.
34, so he's not that old. Sorry, he's 34. Oh, so 34. Not too bad.
He's my age.
Oh, a bit older. You're all 34. We'll see him back.
This year I am.
Are you legit? You're turning 34 this year. I didn't know. Damn.
Yeah, in December.
I always thought that we were just a year apart. Okay, that's fair. December. And then I'm then following a few months after that. So, okay. We're like a year and a half difference. Damn, I'm still gutted though. I'm so upset. Because now UFC 383 is pretty crap. Like, yes, we get to see Connor and Chandler, but I don't know.
They'll fill it, trust me. For a Connor card, they'll fill it. And let alone for a Connor card, they don't really need to either.
No, dude, apparently the gate's already over 20 million. And look, you know what? They could get Jamal against freaking, what's his name? Ah, far out. You and I both slipping in this podcast. What's his name?
Yuri
Braska. Yeah, like, yeah. Why would Yuri not show up to fight for this? Like, he's in a pretty good state.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do it. Yuri against Jamal Hill for the title. I mean, for the number one contender spot. Let's do it.
Yep, but that's funny, eh? Because then it puts like a guy that like Alex just beat like in contention again. That's how the sport works.
So yeah, I mean,
we'll wait and see. They'll make something happen.
Who else is up there in the? Because the light heavyweight divisions are. It's a bit funny at the moment, isn't it? Like, I still thought Rakic looked really good against Yuri. Did. Oh, Uncle Live is in there as well. Surely it's Uncle Live against Pereira, and then you got Yuri against Hill. And what about Jan? Jan against Rakic. Make it happen.
Jan, yeah. I feel like Jan's been slept on a little bit. Didn't he just lose to...
Yeah.
Oh, I forget.
But he might have been injured for a little bit. But yeah, he did just lose. Against obviously Pereira, but that was a close fight, man. That was a pretty close fight. It was split decision in the end, and I feel like Jan needs to be in the conversation again, especially because didn't he draw as well with Ankalaev? What happened in that fight? I don't even remember.
No, yeah. I think he it was a draw, and Dana White got super upset because it was a super boring fight. And
that's right.
I think you just like scrap the entire fight. Like,
yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah. Okay, he's got to be up. Okay, so either it's Yuri fighting Hill or it's Jan. One of those two.
Yeah.
But that is the UFC news for episode 42. Let's move on to the games news. Rob, do you need to go to the bathroom? I thought I'd ask. Are you good?
You know what? I will because I'm also keeping an eye on my kids at the same time and I'm watching my son about to go to war with my daughter, so I'll do it back.
Do it. Oh, man. I predicted that. Predicted that, bad boy. Yeah, my memory is failing me at the moment. I would like to see Ankalaev against Pereira. I think that's the fight to make, especially after the whole schmuzzle that happened with Johnny Walker. That was a pretty good knockout. I think that's a good fight. But who the hell knows what happens with Pereira right now? I mean, he could go up to heavyweight. He could fight John Jones, could call out Pereira after beating Stipe, and then we'd never see Aspinall or Blaydes get the actual title. Could happen. John Jones seems to hold all the bloody cards at the moment. It's annoying me, though. It is genuinely annoying me. I would like to see Pereira stay at light heavyweight, though. I don't know how he fares against someone. I think he fares better against Jones than he would against Aspinall. I think Aspinall freaking murks Pereira, in my humble opinion. Aspinall's so good. But Rob is back. Let's get into the video games news. Rob, I know you're not the biggest fan of Assassin's Creed. You never really got into the games. But by far one of the biggest pieces of news this week in the games world was Assassin's Creed Shadows finally being revealed. It used to be called Codename Red. And it is finally an Assassin's Creed game in feudal Japan. It's something that a lot of us fans have been really excited for, looking forward to. So there are two protagonists. One is called Naoe, who is a Japanese shinobi, or essentially an assassin. And then there is Yasuke, who is an African samurai of historical legend. It's going to be based in 16th century feudal Japan. We haven't seen gameplay, only a CGI trailer. But Rob, could this tempt you to play Assassin's Creed? Could you play this game out of curiosity? Be honest with me.
No. I'm going to be honest with you. No.
That's fair.
If I'm laughing because all my kids are trying to talk to you. No, Jace. After. Yeah, you can. Because my wife's up the street.
I'm not editing this out. I think this is great. This is great.
My wife's up the street. So, and my wife did tell me. She said, Rob, you shouldn't do the podcast while I'm not there because I can't do anything with the kids. I was like, nah, it'll be fine. Yeah. And here we are. But I'm going to say no, top of my head, unless something happens where I get highly encouraged to give it a go and something clicks, then off my own free will as of right now, the 19th of the 5th, 2024, I'm going to say no because I haven't been impressed by any Assassin's Creed game except for Black Flag. Which
was
like
good.
Once I realized there was no reason to rob people, there was like it lost all its luster to me. So I don't know, they all just feel like the same game, even Odyssey and the Viking one, they all feel like the same game.
Well, to be fair, like Origins, Odyssey, and Valhalla, the Vikings one, they were all like part of the same arc. So they were very, even though they were different settings and everything, they were all fairly similar. But this one seems different. Maybe taking cues a little bit from Assassin's Creed Mirage, which was the game that went back to basics for Assassin's Creed. But I want to ask you, what would it take? Like, what kind of core gameplay mechanic needs to change or be added to Assassin's Creed to make someone like you want to play it?
Yeah, for one, I need to get rid of the little kids in the VR tubes. Like, I can't stand that. That smashes my immersion like you would not believe.
Right.
That ruled it. Before I even played the game, that ruled it out for me the get-go, okay? And secondly, I don't know. I just don't find the gameplay loop fun. I don't find the combat hard enough.
I get that. I understand that.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just not for me. I just don't find it super appealing.
That's fair. You know? That's fair. I mean, look, not every game is for everyone, right? And I'm personally looking forward to it. As I mentioned, a lot of Assassin's Creed fans have been wanting to go to Japan.
Heaps of other people too.
Hell yeah. but let's see what happens. I want to see actual gameplay first. I'm definitely going to be playing it day one whenever it drops. But the next bit of news, and I'm sick and tired of mentioning layoffs and stuff, but unfortunately it was one of the biggest pieces of news in the past week. So Xbox has shut down several Bethesda-owned studios. They've shut down Arkane Austin, who made games like Redfall and Prey. They shut down Hi-Fi Rush developer Tango Gameworks, who also made The Evil Within, in addition to Roundhouse and Alpha Dog. I think it was Roundhouse or Alpha Dog that got consumed brought into ZeniMax Online Studios, who make The Elder Scrolls Online. But after that, it seems like people are slowly or very quickly losing trust in Xbox and that they don't know what they're going to do with first-party games in the future. What do you think about this story, bro, about Xbox closing down the studios?
Oh, mate. It's hard to talk about it, right? Because obviously I've had such a close connection, we both have, with Bethesda. So it hits a sore point. One second.
See, that's why you got to listen to your wife. That's why you got to listen to your wife.
My son's running around naked, dude. it is chaos over there. Totally. I'm just like ignoring it all. But yeah, it is a sore point for us, I'm sure, because like we've been working closely with Bethesda Studios, but
yeah,
it's easy to see, but I can see why they've done, because I don't know, the games in recent years haven't been doing great.
Well, the one exception to that was Hi-Fi Rush. I mean, even they told us that it did very, very well. I think what's happening here at a broader level is that after the Activision Blizzard acquisition, $70 billion in the hole, all eyes are on Xbox. The Xbox division within Microsoft. The scrutiny is there. Satya wants to see a return on investment, and he wants to see it fast. He doesn't just want them to coast along like they have been. When they're spending $70 billion, they want the growth to go from this to this, right? What? So closing studios like that kind of, I don't know. I don't want to say it makes sense because it still makes me upset, but that would be, if I was to put my corporate hat on, that's what's going on here.
Yeah, and I don't know. Once Bethesda was taken in by Xbox, you know, they lost a lot of that. They're not a small game independent game developer anymore. They're like they're part of the machine.
This massive conglomerate that has expectation. Yeah. It's just frustrating.
Yeah. What do you do though? What do you do?
Yeah, we see what happens, because next month is and I don't know how we approach this when you're going to be obviously flying overseas, but there's a bunch of showcases next month. Xbox is going to have one. Let's see what they do. Let's see what games they announce and how they try to turn the tide when it comes to public perception and trust and all that kind of stuff. But that was pretty much it in terms of games news for the past week. The next section is what we're playing, watching, and reading. Have you been able to get up to much outside of Fight Camp this past week?
You know what I've been mucking around with lately? Mm. I've been playing Honor Mode Baldur's Gate 3.
So you're still doing it, all right? Are you past Act 1 yet?
But I'm further than I've been recently.
Oh, that's good.
It's I'm much further than I've been recently. I guess it's taking me so long because like, I get burnt out story-wise. I find it really hard to care about the story. Like, I just want to jump in, level up, kill things, find loot. You know what I mean? But there's a lot of it's almost a huge story game, and I need to be in a mood to be able to take it in. And also, like, I can't play that sort of game exhausted from training. Because I don't have the investment or the energy involved to follow the storyline. But that's what I've been doing. I've been watching the same things on like this season's anime.
Yep.
You know, I will say Kaiju number 8 is pretty cool.
That's on my list. You know, and I've heard good things,
Konosuba season 3 is great. It's always great. But yeah, nice. And reading, I've been mucking around with different books, but nothing game breaking just at the moment. Like, there's a few books that come out next month that I'm looking forward to, like We Hunt Monsters and things like that. But yeah, that's about it. What about yourself?
So I've been playing Hellblade 2, and that's actually a game that isn't out yet. It's during the review embargo, so I can't say more than that. All I can say is, Tuesday, 6 p.m. Aussie time, I'm going to be dropping a review or an impressions on my channel. But then after that, when we record next week, I'll be able to talk about my playthrough on the podcast itself, because the timing just isn't working out. So that's what I'm playing. Can't say more. But what I'm watching, I took on your suggestion, Rob. I'm watching Shangri-La Frontier, and it's really bloody good. I don't know what it is about anime that are about video games in one way. And this one's obviously, for those of you that don't know, like, he's going into a VR world and playing this game. So it's not actual like real consequences, but I'm still bloody invested. The way that they tell the story and the way that they bring you in, I'm like, yeah, I want to know what this boss is and what's the storyline and like what's the developer up to. It's so interesting to me. I think it's freaking sick, and it was a good recommendation. Cool, for me. Eh? Yeah,
I think straight after that, you got to go Sword Art Online. You need to go old school.
All right.
You know, and it's really cool as well. It's, I think it's got like, I think it's cool because it's got more serious consequences, you know?
Because it's not like a video game. It's like video game elements, but an actual story. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And like Sword Art Online, I don't know. I read the light novel before watching the anime,
right.
But I really liked it. I think the consequences were cool. I think the implications and repercussions of what happened in that world were good. I think the seasons following it kind of hit or miss. Like some were all right, some weren't. It loses itself a little bit, but
that's fair.
The first season was really good.
Mm. Well, I did finish Shangri-La, so I don't know what to do because Demon Slayer is starting to come out, and I know you don't like Demon Slayer, but the first episode just dropped, which I already watched in the cinema. It's for season 3. I think it's season 3. So I think the next one's dropping very soon. So I want to be involved in that. But they're not releasing them all at once. And I kind of get used to that when watching like Amazon Prime and stuff. You know what I mean? But I'm really, really keen on the rest of Demon Slayer. And there's something else that's coming out at the same time. What's like some... It's big. My Hero Academia as well. So
you know
I want to be watching that.
I dropped that after a little bit. My Hero. And
you don't like it?
I thought it was so cool. I think when was it? When he started kicking things.
But it's beyond that. It's way beyond that now. I agree. Well, the whole kicking thing, I agree.
Yeah. And I understand it gets really good post that.
It
but
does.
But I found that little arc of him kicking things is just like,
I think that whole season was pretty bad. Like, it was just a lot about training and school stuff. I was like, I don't care.
Yep.
Get to the good stuff.
I feel
and
that.
And it's there now, though, that. Bro. I'm telling you, it's there.
Yeah, okay. Well, I got to find the motivation to just get through those crappy episodes so that I can so I can pick it back up because I know it gets hectic. I've seen clips. People have told me it gets really good. And the first and second season I really liked.
You're going to love these later seasons, bro, honestly. It's like the dark era of My Hero Academia when like they're actually fighting the boss and there are consequences. And even on a worldwide level, it's freaking great. the first episode of the latest season was awesome. Yeah, man, that's what I've been watching. That's what I've been playing. Again, I'll talk more about Hellblade 2 in next week's episode. But finally, for the last segment, we've got viewer questions. As always, if you have any questions that you would like us to answer on the podcast, let us know in the comments below. We do like to give preference to those who are members on the channel. So thank you. Thanks to those of you that have supported us through memberships. But first up, Rob, we've had several people ask you this. So I need to include a double question here. One is from at Intercollection? Intellection? Some of your names, bro, so hard to pronounce. 991. Is it Intellection? Have you seen some of these usernames and the rest of them? I don't know.
Wild.
Falcon McLeod Shabo Gessick 790. That's the next question. Intellection goes, are you guys going to play the new Souls-like game, No Rest for the Wicked? It's an early access, but it's amazing. I think Rob would love it. Also, OGG Gaming 7362 asks, I've asked this question before, but I forgot an important part. So I'll ask it again. Rob, are you going to be playing No Rest for the Wicked? It's a Souls-like game, but done as a Diablo-style ARPG. It plays like a Souls game, very punishing based on the weapon you use more than anything else. But it's a top-down Diablo-style view and has loot like a Diablo game. If somehow flying under the radar, give it a crack. Rob?
Yep, definitely. I'm definitely going to play it. It's I've looked it up. And honestly, I just thought I'd wait a little bit longer for it to be a bit finished because it is in early access right now and it hasn't got all its features released. I don't know if they've released the town yet that you can upgrade and the city that you can upgrade and whatnot.
Right.
But I am waiting for it to become a little closer to the finish date.
Oh, yeah.
I'm very hesitant to jump into early access games just because like there's some that are just – that are like permanent early access that are almost done and you'll get hundreds of hours of it. But I don't want to get invested into a game where I'll put 6 hours into it and I'm pretty much done with content. You know what did that for me? Enshrouded. I don't know if it's an early access game, but I jumped in Enshrouded with 2 feet, put in about, I don't know, 20 hours. And then I was kind of at a point where I had done everything. I'd gotten the best armor. I'd beaten all the bosses. And, you know, it's not a – it's not a nice feeling. It left me empty, you know. But no, I've seen sense. The artwork. It looks wild.
Yeah.
It looks, you know, up my alley. So, yes.
Yeah, I've never really done early access games. I like waiting until there's a final release and like when they think as a developer it's ready and then I'll jump in. But being a part of that process and giving feedback, I can understand the appeal on that for sure. My next question, this one is from Falcon McLeod. You can see this username, right? I'm not just pronouncing this incorrectly. Shabo G6790. I think that's what it is. Rob, Johnny is starting his MMA career and you are in charge of facilitating his training. How do you devise his training? Going more striking / grappling focused. Striking wise, you're setting him up with boxing, karate, kickboxing, or Muay Thai. Grappling, are you having him favor wrestling, jiu-jitsu, or BJJ? Rob?
Okay, I'm probably going to put a heavy emphasis in wrestling and jiu-jitsu.
Oh, okay. All right, I like that.
And then probably boxing, you know, yeah. some boxing. If he's going fresh, if he's going to fight, did you say he's going to fight in 6 months? Or if he's going to fight in, say, let's say 6 months, mm-hmm. I'm going to get him a good boxing program and heavily delve into like wrestling, jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
So he can punch his way into the takedowns and then deal with whatever happens on the ground.
I love it.
I think that's the safest approach.
Yeah. So I don't know if you've ever heard of it, but yeah, our friend Michael, he did this. Do you remember he went through, it was like this, it's not professional. Like they have amateur people fight that have no fighting experience. They train them up. I can't remember the name for it, but we went to his fight. It was freaking sick and he never fought again. I don't think I can actually do it. Is that what it is? So you know it. Okay. Yeah.
Well, it was one of them.
Yeah. Like I think it's great.
I think,
yeah.
Yeah, I think it's great. I think that fighting, even if it's just once, changes a perspective you have just in life.
Yep.
And I think it's worth doing, you know, putting yourself under that extreme pressure.
Yeah.
Because I think it's one of, in my opinions, it's like a good stress. It's fair. Good pressure.
Yeah.
You know, it pressure makes diamonds.
Look, I have thought about it, but I think my back and my neck is too bad to actually do it. So maybe in another lifetime. But the next question is from @Hyper, who asks, question for Rob and Johnny. If you can combine two different games into one, what would it be? For me, I'd love to have the gothic atmosphere and combat system from Bloodborne combined with the world quest design and story from The Witcher 3. Rob?
That's tricky. That's very tricky. You go first. I need time to think.
I would love to see, and it's not really like a game, but like whatever games use Unreal Engine, I would like to see that fuse with Fallout. Don't get me wrong. I love Fallout. I love the engine. Sometimes I wish it would look a different way. Sometimes I wish, if we're talking about hypotheticals here, I would love to see a game where it's looking like an Unreal Engine game, looks incredible, like real life, but it's also an open world game. And obviously that's pretty much impossible, but that's what I would like to see. We're combining two different stuff. I think that would be sick.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did they want to answer the question?
Okay. I'll come out soon. I reckon mixing, say, Dark Souls or Elden Ring with Baldur's Gate, something like that, like seeing the D&D world fused into like a hardcore Souls-like game would be really cool, especially if it's 3D. A lot of those D&D games are obviously their turn-based, you know, top-down sort of games. And I think seeing one from like a first-person perspective would be pretty cool.
So is that more about making Baldur's Gate 3 more Elden Ring-like or the other way around? Because I've always wondered what Elden Ring and Dark Souls and games like that would be like if they... I know they focus on story, but they do it in a very different Miyazaki way. But like an actual narrative, your character is a person, you know what I mean? Could that work for Elden Ring? I don't know.
I might not like it anymore then. Like I love it. I think I love Elden Ring so much because the story's not in your face. You don't really need to focus on it. You don't really need to pay attention to it. You kind of just go around smashing stuff.
Yeah. Dude, you have, I in I didn't intentionally, but I'm not used to that style of game. So whenever I picked up an item or a sword or whatever, I'm not reading the description. But I know that's where you get most of the lore in the freaking game. So by the end of the game, unless I had YouTube videos, I would have no idea what the hell was going on in Elden Ring.
Mate, you and everybody else.
Which is not like a way of storytelling that a lot of us are used to. Like, we're used to the game telling us what's important. And if you want to find out more, you read everything. But with Elden Ring, that's your first port of call.
Yeah. It certainly is different. I really like it, but you know, I can't answer that question. It's too hard. It's
fair.
Off
fair.
The cuff.
Next question comes from @Zakin13. Awesome episode, you two. Really hoping we see a co-op playthrough from you two. At some stage in the future, we will. Question for both. At the start of every podcast, it seems you two are already laughing it up and having a good time. What goes on moments before you hit the record button? Would you like to cover this one, Rob, or should I?
What is happening? I don't know. I'm just talking shit, I think.
We're talking shit, chatting, but usually the reason why we're laughing is because usually we stuff up the first opening intro and then we're laughing and then we roll into it. I think that's usually the case, 8 times out of 10. And other times we're just talking about something stupid.
Or I'm like, oh, this should be a quick one. This should be a quick one. Like, look, this was supposed to be a super quick week and we're already 50 minutes in.
Well, to be fair, you didn't say this one's going to be a quick one. And it is going to be shorter than our normal ones. We're getting close to an hour, but we're not going to get there. Yeah. But that's usually what we're doing, in all honesty. Like, we chat a little bit and then we hit record. Next question is from @TylerW14. Rob and Johnny, if you could bring any anime rival and or ally into real life, who would you choose? I've got my answer for this one.
Ooh.
It's a hard one too.
What does ally mean? Does ally mean someone to fight the rival?
That's a really good point.
Or could I just like fully, yeah.
I think rival as in think of Goku to Vegeta. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Think of Deku to, what's his name? Kachan.
We're friends.
Well, he's your rival. So you're competing against each other, but there's a bit of a mutual respect there. You know what I mean? Or someone who's just straight and
straight
out.
Up choose a friend.
Yeah.
Straight up friend.
Yeah.
Oh, this is tricky.
It is hard.
You tell me first.
Well, because the rival can challenge you and can make you better, right? Mm. So the first thing that went to my mind was someone like Goku, and that would be someone as an ally because he can train you. He can instant transmission you places, hyperbolic time chamber. If you want to train and get better, there would be no better trainer or master than Goku, in my personal opinion. So someone like that. In terms of rival, though, I don't know. That one's harder because you have to like the character too if they're going to strive you to be better and you're constantly competing against them. I'd say Goku as an ally.
I think, you see, you're thinking at it too low. You're too shallow.
Probably. You're like, right.
What's Goku going to do for you?
He's going to train me up. He's going to make me a better fighter.
He's not going to be able to help you any more than I could help you, bro. Like,
no,
he can't make you fly.
He does.
You're not a saint.
See, that's where you're
just a human being. Because he's coming into that world. You're a human
being. So is Krillin.
Yeah, but he's in that world. It's different.
Nah.
So is Krillin. Their version of humans is probably different from ours.
Oh, okay, now you're changing the rules.
You can't fly now. He's not going to teach you. It's not the
rules.
No,
that is a lie.
It says
that is a lie.
If you could bring an anime character into our life, real life, right?
Okay, if you're going to feel like that, yeah. Okay, go on.
Shenron.
I knew. I honestly, on my mum's life, bro. I knew you were going to say Shenron. I knew it.
Yeah, bro.
You just wish yourself
some 3 wishes. Yeah, get me some 3 wishes, bro. Ooh.
You're right.
Where's
you're
my
right.
Oyster?
Yeah. I mean, if you want to be more specific, isn't like, I don't know. I don't know what the versions of Shenron are and which one's more powerful, but that's a good answer.
The one but that I gives me wishes, that's what I want.
Yeah, but I don't know. I don't think that was the point of the question, Rob. Next question is from Joshua.
Well, he should be more specific, Mr. Tyler W14.
The next question is from Joshua Ledwell, 3954. What game have you both spent the most time on, you believe, if you haven't answered that already? I don't believe we've answered that. What do you reckon, Rob? What do you play the most out of any game?
Well, I could go through my Steam and have a look.
But Steam, I don't
some
think
of my games
capture
though,
everything.
Like, well, yeah, and I'm pretty bad at like pressing pause and then walking off. Like, I'll walk off, go for a drive down the street, come back at the end of the day. You know what I mean?
But it doesn't count.
Yeah, I got. Mate. Actually, hold on. You can probably get a profile, eh? Or is it activity, you reckon?
Yeah. I mean, I know in all likelihood, probably Fallout 76. Just because I worked on it and everything, like, that's by far the game I've spent the most hours in, I reckon. I think I got like, and to be honest, I'm not one of those people that spend, I've seen people spend thousands of hours in certain games, right? Like, they're playing a MOBA or whatever. So this might not seem crazy, but I think I put like 700-800 hours into 76, which for me is a lot of hours, right? That's a lot of time sitting in front of a screen playing.
For anyone, that's a lot of hours.
Yeah. But that was also over the course of years and years and years. So I would say 76 for sure.
Yeah. My top one is RimWorld.
What's that? How many hours?
RimWorld. It's like a colony.
No, I know what RimWorld is, but like what hours? Yeah.
Oh, it was 992.
That's a lot.
But I
always
reckon
hit the 1K.
You know what? Even if I said like 90 of those hours were just AFK, that's still 900 hours.
It's a lot, man. It is a lot.
And
of
I
hours.
Doubt 90 of those hours were AFK.
Yeah. And what's second out of curiosity? Yeah. While you have it up,
Ark Survival Evolved.
That makes sense. Yeah, do you still play that or not?
But again, that's another game that I used to like just leave myself at home and walk off.
Well, because you don't want to close the game because then you're like, well, I'm done, right? I get it. You leave the pause screen on, you go do something for an hour, you come back. I understand. Yeah.
And then Elden Ring's after that, 460.
Damn. That's look, I put a lot of hours, I say for me a lot of hours into Elden Ring, but it was just one playthrough. So I think I put like 100 for that one playthrough.
If I had to be honest with you though, I think the game that I would have most spent time with over my lifetime would either be RuneScape or Ragnarok Online.
Oh yeah, that's fair. Like it's hard to recall those older games, right?
Yeah, both those games back in the day. Ragnarok Online definitely would have taken the cake. Because I spent too much time on that. The grind was real. But RuneScape was huge too. Like,
yeah. If we're talking like overall series and franchises, I would it's either Fallout or Pokemon for me. I as a kid, so many stupid hours into Pokemon on my Game Boys.
Have you seen that game that's really popular at the moment? My friends tried to get me into it. Poke Rogue?
I thought you were going to mean Power. No.
Nah, Poke Rogue. It is a roguelike version of Pokemon. So
interesting.
Apparently you can't have apparently you can't have heaps of different types. And you play it from your browser, so you don't have to buy it or anything. Apparently you can only pick certain Pokemons, and if you die, it's over. Gone. Like you lose.
I don't think I would ever play.
So like strategy's pretty important. Apparently that would be probably the only version of Pokemon I'd get into, but I'm not big into Pokemon. I just don't. I don't like not being the main character of the story.
Oh, you are. Hold on, you are. You become the champion in most Pokemon games. You are the guy.
No, the Pokemon are the main character.
No, they're not. Like it's the no, Rob. Come on now. The whole point is you as a trainer compiling the best team of Pokemon. It's not just the Pokemon of the main characters. Come on.
I don't know. And I don't like having so many Pokemon, having to pick between them. Like I've been more of a Digimon man myself. Like you just pick the one Digimon and he evolves into different ones. And I don't know. It's cool.
Hold on. What's the difference between Pokemon and compiling a team and Elden Ring and looking at all the armor pieces and weapon pieces and coming up with the best set? Like what's the difference?
Well, in Elden Ring, you're the one stabbing things. In Pokemon, the Pokemon's the one stabbing things. I like
but you're the one strategizing.
I like getting my hands dirty, Johnny. I don't want to send my Charmander out to kill another Charmander. I want to kill the Charmander.
I can guarantee that you've played games.
I want to bash the Squirtle with my own two hands. You know, that's, I think that's why I liked Power World so much, because you can just get like a machine gun, dude, just gun things.
Did you put a lot of hours into Power World, out of curiosity?
Yeah, I did. A fair whack of them.
Yeah, fair.
It's not anywhere near my top played, but like at least like 40 or something hours or so.
Fair.
But I liked it because you could just get a machine gun and shoot things.
I don't think I'll ever play Power World. It's an affront to Pokemon for me. And not to say that I don't think it's a good game or whatever, and I appreciate that people like it, but I just don't think I could ever do it. Especially now, like, its heyday's kind of slowed down and no one's really talking about it. That would have been the best time for someone like me to get into it, and I didn't. So I think it's done for me, personally. But Rob, those were all the questions, and that was episode 42. We hit an hour, I think. We don't know when we start recording and actually, like, start the podcast, but I think we've hit an hour for this one.
We have. But if we take out me going bathroom and me talking to the kids and everything else, we may be a little under. But, you know, for a week where the topics weren't super stacked, we made it work.
100% we did. And next week, it's going to be a good one because we get to do predictions for a proper main card, which is awesome. But thank you so much for watching right up until this point. Rob, do you have any closing thoughts?
Yeah. Please, thank you for all the support. You guys are the driving force behind this. If you don't mind, subscribe, tell your mates about us so that, you know, I don't need to get hit in the head forever. No, I'm kidding. But yeah, thank you very much, guys.
See you guys.